Well, I haven't met you. My name's Jeff, one of the pastors here at the Village, and see some new faces out there today. And so we are in week 10 of a series called Joshua. So are you guys sick of Joshua yet? Good. Good. We got three more weeks to go. And so I know sometimes, you know, this could be a long series in the world we live in, the age we live in. How many times, I think Kevin Denise shared it last week, do we check our cell phones? 150 times a day. If you have a remote control, if you're like me, you probably surf, what, about 20 channels in 2 minutes, and you think you're watching television. So I get it that this is going to be a 13-week series that can seem kind of long. And we've been stuck on this one topic called faith the whole time. And so we've been 13 weeks of what it means to walk by faith. And so I want to spend 2 minutes, I promise it's only going to be 2 minutes, to catch us up to where we're at. Because we've been on a three-week kind of hiatus, whatever you want to call it. Someone said, thank you, from, I'm going to pause. All right, from Joshua. When I don't know how to pronounce a word, I just pause and you all scream. This is going to be awesome today. Love the energy in the room. But let me catch you up in case you haven't been here all the weeks. We started 680 years ago from where we're going to pick up today. A guy named Abraham received a couple promises from God. And we've been keen in on one of those promises that he received up to this point. And that was a promise that his people, his descendants, would inherit a land called Canaan. It's called the Promised Land. It's this beautiful piece of land. It's lush. It's a place of milk and honey, it's called. It's a prosperous land. It's the place of blessing. And so Abraham received that promise by faith 680 years ago to where we're going to pick up in Joshua today. And between that time, all we've seen for the most part is the Israelites, Abraham's descendants, get further and further away from the Promised Land. And for 400 years, they found themselves enslaved to the Egyptians. And so they were far away from walking into God's destiny for their life. But a guy named Moses raised up, and we called Moses a generational game changer. He was someone who looked around and said, enough is enough. My God is bigger than the Egyptians that are holding us captive. And so Moses said, God is going to take us. He's going to deliver us. You all know the story. They came to the Red Sea. Moses held out his staff. God parted the Red Seas. The Israelites walked across, and they were miles away from the Promised Land. Not very far, 2 to 3 week hike entering the Promised Land, but they fell back into some of their old patterns of unbelief, which is the opposite of faith. God had them wander in the desert for 40 years, okay? Moses died, a new leader was installed, Joshua, and that's kind of where we picked up a couple weeks ago before our pause. Joshua was installed as the new leader, and they are about ready to finally go into the Promised Land. And so we kind of took a break, though, for 3 weeks, and we talked about spiritual warfare. And the reason we did that is in order for the Israelites and Joshua to kind of go into the territory, they're going to have to fight some battles. The people that are in the land of Canaan and in Jericho, they're just not going to hand it over. They're going to have to fight some battles. And you and I, we're not going to have to fight a physical battle, are we, in this life? But the Apostle Paul says, you know what? There's a spiritual battle going on that we all need to be prepared to fight. And so that's why we kind of hit the pause button. And if you weren't here, I really encourage you to go back and listen to those talks because they're really important to what we're going to be getting to in the coming weeks. And if we're going to take back the territory that God wants to give us here in the Village, if you're going to take back the territory of your life that maybe Satan has control over, you're going to be ready to fight the spiritual battle that is before you. And so this whole series that we've been talking about, the Promised Land, making it to the Promised Land, the reason this is not just a history lesson, because there's a little analogy going on here. Hopefully you've all caught on, and hopefully I've done a good job of kind of describing that along the way. But for the Israelites, their destiny was the Promised Land. They were supposed to live there in this place of blessing, this place where God was with them, in this place of peace. And for us, it's an analogy to the Christian life that God wants to take us to our modern-day Promised Land, where we live in God's presence, where we live in the will of God. And what I've been saying during this series is, we're watching how the Israelites make it to their destiny, and we can learn a lot of lessons for us. How do we make it to our spiritual destiny? How do we finally get to the point where we say, I'm living in the will of God. I'm right where God wants me today. It's not where I'm going to end up, but it's right where God wants me today. And we've been learning the only way to get there is faith. And so we're going to continue on with this journey today. Let me pray, and we'll jump right back in. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone you gathered here, God, to hear your word taught. So, God, I ask through your spirit that you would give me the ability to teach your word well this morning, God, that you would give us all the ability and, quite frankly, God, that you would give us all, including myself, the desire to hear your word and to receive your word and to respond to your word here this morning. So, Holy Spirit, as your presence is here, may you continue to move in each of our hearts, opening us up to what you have for us here this morning. Everybody said, amen. As I prepare for this series week after week, I've got about four commentaries that I use. The commentaries are people that are way smarter than me who study the book of Joshua and tell me what it means. And so then I get up here and tell you what it means. And so I got about four commentaries that I use during this series to kind of get a better understanding. And then from that, I kind of draw and say, I think this is the message that God has for us today. So I don't teach you everything. It would probably be a three-year series if we were to learn everything about Joshua. But I want to read to you some quotes from a guy named Warren Wiersbe. I've been reading his commentary a lot throughout this series, and this is a great reminder since we're kind of taking a three-week break to what this series is all about. It's all about faith, and this is what he says about the Christian life. And if you want to fill in some blanks today, I'm pretty sure these are some of the first fill-in-the-blanks for you, but this is what Warren Wiersbe, he's an American pastor, says about the Christian life. He says, you will either be a victim or a victor. You will either be overcome or be an overcomer. And then I added this one, so don't blame him for this one. You will either be crushed by your circumstances or rise above them. I love how he kind of just talks about the Christian life. It's basically, he's saying, you're either going to leave you a defeated Christian or you're going to be a victorious Christian. You're either going to allow your circumstances to overwhelm you or you're going to be somebody who rises above your circumstances. And again, the key to it is faith. It truly is. The key to being an overcomer, to walking in victory, to rising above our circumstances is walking by faith. Because unbelief, what does unbelief tell us? Unbelief says, let's just stay where we're at. Better yet, you know what unbelief says? Unbelief says, let's go back to where it was safe. Let's go. And that wasn't that the Israelites, that's their Achilles heel. That was the problem they had. That's why it took 680 years to get to this point, is their unbelief kept coming back in. And do you remember the story when they crossed over the Red Sea and they praised God for three whole days without stopping? 3 days of praising God, and then their bellies got hungry. And what did they say? Let's go back to Egypt and be slaves again. At least we got stew. That's what unbelief does. Unbelief says, let's go back to where it was safe. What does faith say? Faith, let's step out where it's kind of dangerous, where we've never been before. But that's what gets us to God's will and God's destiny for our life, is those steps of faith that we're going to have. And so where we're at right now today in this story is there's 1 million people, the nation of Israel, they're standing, or not standing, but they're just hanging out at the Jordan River. They're hanging out at the Jordan. The only thing between Israel and the promised land is a river and a wall. You got the Jordan River, and you got the walls of Jericho surrounding the city. That's the only thing in their way from finally, after 680 years, discovering God's will and destiny for their life. And I just thought about you. Joshua must be pretty darn excited, don't you think? He personally has been waiting for this for 80 years. He's in his 80s right now. He's been waiting for 80 years to finally make it to the promised land. He was excited. It's kind of like that kid, you, when you were young on Christmas morning. Remember those first Christmases where you couldn't wait to wake up and you just had to rush downstairs? And it makes me ask the question, is that you, though? Are you excited? Do you live in anticipation of tomorrow? Or do you dread what is about to come? Joshua had circumstances and hurdles. He had a mile-long sea that he had to cross. He had a wall fortifying the city that he was supposed to overcome. But I believe he was just excited and had great anticipation about what God was going to do. And I think we should too. I think we should live as Christians with great anticipation for the next moment in life. In fact, I think God promises that if we do that, he'll meet us in that point. It's what I call the James 4 promise. You probably don't want to know what the James 4 promise is because I just made that up today. But in James chapter 4, James says this. He says, if you draw near to God, meaning if you walk by faith and you pursue God's will and God's destiny for your life, if you draw near to God, there's the promise, God will draw near to you. What a great promise. We draw near to God, he draws near to us. We walk by faith and God meets us right there. God can't meet us if we're walking backwards in unbelief, can he? That's not where he's at. He's up there in faith waiting for us to meet him there. So here we are. We're on the edge of the Jordan River. And I just want to kind of go through today and look at the passages of Scripture that talk about crossing the Jordan. And today is a very practical talk in a lot of ways. And today is one of those talks where it's kind of like that, duh, you know, I knew that, but it's still one of those talks where, but I'm not doing it. I know it, but I'm not doing it kind of talks. And we're going to look at three phases or three essentials to walking by faith and into God's destiny for our lives. And so three fill-in-the-blanks for you. I'm going to read through a bunch of scripture here up front, really telling the story of crossing the Jordan. We're going to see what we can learn today. All right, I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 3. And this verse, most of this won't be on the screen, so that means you're going to have to pay attention to what I'm reading today. I really did that so when I mispronounce all the names of these cities, you won't know it. That's why I didn't do it. I'm just kidding. I actually thought about doing that, though. Lord help me. So here we go. Yes. Pause. All right. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river." Okay, first thing, not rocket science here, but step one, what's going on here? God speaks to Joshua. God tells Joshua, "I want you to tell the people, I want you to tell the priests this." Let's see what Joshua does next. Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." All right, so God tells Joshua, "I want you to tell the priest this." What does Joshua do? Joshua tells the priest what he was supposed to do, take the Ark of the Covenant. And just what, so you know, it's not important to our story today necessarily. That's why it's not a three-year-long series. But the Ark of the Covenant basically represents the presence of God. Picture the Raiders of the Lost Ark if you're old enough. There you go. That's the Ark of the Covenant. And the Israel's carrying around this Ark representing the presence of God that's with them. Let's just keep going on, though. God tells Joshua something. Joshua tells the priest. So what happens next? Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. Excuse me? Where do you live? Shittim? Shittim. All right. Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, which is about a half mile, between you and the Ark. Do not go near it." All right, I know it's not rocket science, but God tells Joshua something. Joshua tells the priest. Joshua tells the officers, who then tell the people the same message that they got from God. And then what happens next? Joshua now goes to the people himself. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen," and this is really important. This is where I wish it was on the screen, but "listen to the words of God." Okay, it doesn't say word of God. It's really important that we catch that. It says, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here to all the people and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites," and the Shittites. It doesn't say that, actually. Sorry. "see that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap." First phase of walking by faith is receiving the words of God. It's impossible to walk by faith without first receiving the words of God into our lives. If we don't first receive the words of God, who are we following then? Or where are we going? What we're doing, we're following our own desires. We're chasing our own dreams. That's what I did for 31 years before I listened to the words of God and read the words of God, as I was pursuing what I thought was good and right and what was my destiny. And so phase one, first essentials, we got to receive the words of God. And that's both the written word, and we'll get that in a minute, the scriptures that I'm reading today, but it's also the oral word of God where God speaks to us, just as he spoke to Joshua in the story. Hey, Joshua, God said, hey, Joshua, go tell the priest this. And so I want us to know, though, we have to hear the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said so in Romans chapter 10. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There is no faith. And I know this is vanilla stuff, but it's so important to hear. There is no opportunity for faith in our lives unless we receive the word of God. It has to start there. So how do we receive the word of God? Again, this isn't rocket science. One, we have the scriptures that I'm reading today. We've got the written word of God, and Kevin Dineen talked about this last week in the sword of the spirit. But we have God's word that is written in the scriptures that all of us can read. If you don't have a Bible, you can pick a free one up. But it's available to all. That's the easiest way. That's the most direct and straightforward way to receive the word of God. And what's cool about when we do that, that makes us not have to ask a bunch of questions, you know. If we know the word of God, we don't have to go in prayer and say things like, God, should I move in with my girlfriend? He answers that for us. He tells us which way to walk, what the faith walk is to that question. There's lots of things in Scripture about purity and sex before marriage and all those things, but knowing the Word of God, how else is the Word of God? Well, this morning, a Sunday morning, you come here and the Word of God is taught to you. It's an opportunity for all of us to receive a teaching from the Word of God. That's why I hope, like, when you're not in here or you're back serving in River Kids, that you take time to listen to the podcast. It's another opportunity to prepare ourselves to walk by faith. Again, we can't walk by faith without first receiving the word of God. How else do we receive the word of God? Just directly from him, right? By having conversations with God. It's prayer, that's what it's called. Talking with God, asking him questions, listening to God. All these different ways that we can hear and receive the word of God. And so you got to ask yourself this morning, how are you doing with that? Do you feel like you're going through life trying to make decisions on your own? Like, I wonder what the best next thing for me to do is. Or do you feel like God said this, and so that's where you're going? We've got to first hear and receive the word of God. And I was really encouraged by Tuesday night here at Community Nights. And this is what you have to catch that's going on here. This is communal aspect about receiving the word of God. Do you see that? It's Joshua who's talking to the priests, who's talking to the officers. And then the officers go around and tell all the people what God said. And you know all the people were talking about it, right? Because the officers couldn't visit 1 million people individually. The people were talking among themselves. Did you hear what God said? Did you hear where God wants us to go? And there's this communal aspect about receiving the word of God into our lives. And that's why I say I was encouraged here on Tuesday. If you're not a part of Community Nights, you just missed another good one. I feel like I say that every week, but it was awesome, Joel, wasn't it? I loved it. It was a really good time where we talked about the word of God, and we broke down the word of God, and then we prayed over one another, and we shared the words of God with one another. How encouraging it was for everybody that was there. And then I found out some of the folks from Celebrate Recovery, you know, knew what they do during the week? They text scriptures to one another. I mean, how awesome is that? The community of God sharing the word of God to encourage one another so that what? We can walk by faith. And so the easy takeaway from this is, if you don't feel like you're hearing the word of God and you don't know where God wants you to go, you got, am I reading the scriptures? And I say it every time, and I don't know a better answer. And if you're not reading it and you say, I don't know where to start, just start. Just start somewhere. And if you really need me to tell you where to start, I'm going to say start in Luke, okay? Just a personal preference. Start in Luke and read Luke. Maybe that's something you can do this week. You know what? I'm going to read Luke this week. I'm really going to do it so that I can receive the words of God in my life. You know what? I'm going to come to Community Nights. You know what? I wasn't here last week. Pastor Jeff just said that was a really important talk. So I'm going to go listen to it. Why? So that I can receive the word of God into my life. We got to first receive the word of God if we're going to walk by faith. When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So that means, I mentioned, the Jordan's probably a mile wide. A million people can't walk across it. That's not going to happen. Yet as soon as the priests
who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the edge of the water from upstream. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water was flowing down to the Sea of the Arab, that was the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the Jordan, just like the Red Sea, the waters were cut off. It says, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. It should sound familiar, right? It sounds just like what happened when Moses held out his staff and the Red Sea was parted. This time it was a little different. What did God do? He went to Joshua and he said, Joshua, tell the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant and go into the Jordan River. People, when you see the priest going towards the river, follow them. Those were the instructions God gave to Joshua. What happened? The priest did it. The priest did it. They responded to the word of God. They first received it, then they responded to the word of God. And if we're going to move forward in this life, and this is really important, if we're going to move forward and we're going to discover God's destiny for our life, and just like the priest, what are we going to have to do? We have to get our feet wet, right? We will. We can't just come here on a Sunday. We just can't read Scripture and do nothing with it. That's not faith. That's just intellect and knowledge and maybe a little bit of wisdom, but wisdom still calls you to do something. Receiving the word of God, there's something we got to get our feet wet. See, what happened is when the priest stepped into the water, what did that do? That opened the door for God to move. If they didn't step in the water, the waters weren't parting. But I don't feel like you get that yet. If the priest didn't step into the water, nothing was going to happen. They had to respond to the word of God. It opened the door, and that's what's in our lives. When we receive the word of God, the instructions of God, the commands of God, whatever you want to call them, and we step out and obey them, that opens the door for God to move in our lives. It requires, faith requires obedience. We've been talking about it. It requires us to do something. Faith is not theoretical. Up to a point it is, but then we got to step out and we got to do it. And that's what opens the door for God to move in our lives. And this is, let me give you a few examples of what that looks like. I love using Celebrate Recovery because you guys are an endless supply of great sermon illustrations. And I say this with all sincerity because they're some of the craziest yet healthiest Christians I know. So I love using, yeah, woo! It's just so easy to use them as sermon illustrations week after week, but it's true. But I'll use one of them. Some of you in this room, let's say you're struggling with a silent addiction. You have one. You haven't told anyone about it yet, and I'm certain in a room this size, there's someone here that fits the bill. You know what it's going to take probably? It's going to take an act of obedience where you step out, you get your feet wet, you go to that first meeting, and then you're going to open the door for God to move in your life. Let's say you're here and you've got bitterness in your heart towards someone, maybe a spouse, a brother, a friend. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take maybe picking up the phone and saying, you know what, we need to talk. You know what that's going to do? That's going to open the door for God to move in your life, to hopefully lead you to forgive that person that you need to forgive. We know that God's called all of us to be generous, right? We did a whole series called The Blessed Life. I'm encouraged because there's 15 people taking faith in finances. You know what? That's a step of faith for them, obedience, and God's going to open the door because they're doing that. We all could take steps of faith towards generosity. You know what? We all could say, I'm going to do something. I don't know how I'm going to get to that point of generosity because that is inconceivable to me right now. A tenth of my income, you're killing me, God. I can't even picture that. You know what we all could say, though? Another day's not going to go by that I'm going to walk by that offering thing and not put at least a quarter in. I'm going to start. You know what that's going to do by obedience, that little step of faith? It's going to open the door for God to move in your life. We all need to hear the word of God. We just spoke about that. Again, if you don't have a Bible, you pick one up. That maybe is the step of faith you need to take. At least pick up a free Bible today. And others, it's going to say, I'm going to read Luke this week, and that's going to open the door for God to move in your life. And I want to read a passage of Scripture from James. James is getting a lot of shout-out today, even though we're in Joshua, but it begins with a J, so it's close.
Mercy. All right. James chapter 1, verse 22 and 25. Do not merely listen to the word, meaning don't just come here on Sundays just to hear a decent message and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. I love what James is saying. What he's saying is something like this. Don't just come on a Sunday morning just to go through the motions. I don't know about you, but I got better things in life to do than just go through the motions, don't you? I hate apathy, and that's just how I'm wired, so don't let me take it out on you. But the scriptures are saying, just don't show up, go through the motions. Take that bulletin or that connection card that has next step on it, 52 weeks of the year, and do something with it. Do something with the word of God you're receiving. That's what James is imploring us to do. If that sounds harsh, blame it on James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. You're deceived. If you just hear the word of God and you don't do anything with it, you're just living a deceived life. You're living in your own reality. That's what it's saying. It says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law gives freedom. That's what the commands of God do. The instructions of God, the words of God, they are not meant to constrain us. If you feel like those scriptures and the commands of God are constraining you, you're not seeing the purpose of them. The purpose of the commands of God that we follow by faith are to give us freedom so that, this is all coming together now, guys, so that we can experience God's destiny for our lives, which is probably different than what we have in mind. The law, the words of God, bring freedom when we obey them and not just listen to them. And it continues, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. And what happens? They will be blessed. How awesome is that? God doesn't always ask for a laugh. He just simply says, come to me, receive my word, obey my word, and I'll bless you for it. And to that I say amen. Now to some of you, I want us to catch this. I got to use my steps today. I love my steps, my continuum, okay. Week one of this series. You probably don't remember, but I'm going to go over it again. This is so important to obeying God, and that's what we're talking about, receiving the commands of God, responding to the commands of God. That may be another thing, says listening to the commands of God and obeying the commands of God. It's however you want to say it, but most of us are trying to do this again. We're trying to look for that big leap, that big jump, and what happens when we do that? Pull a hamstring, blow a knee, we give up. It's not what the Christian life is all about. It's not a sprint, guys. It's these little steps of faith, and we've been talking about this in community nights every week. Again, I don't know why you're not here. It's awesome. It's the little steps of faith where we just simply say and listen to the word of God, and God says, Jeff, I would like you to do this. And what do you? Yes, God. And it's that little baby step. It might be something really small. And things like, and I'm sorry, it's not calling one out, but these little things that God's telling some people in our group, it's like, just spend more time with your wife. You know what that person, yes, God, I'll do that. And the next thing you know, God says, God, I want you to do this thing. And you just say, yes, God. That's what these little baby steps is what it's going to take to get down here. God's will and God's destiny for your life. If you're looking for that big leap of faith, you're not going to find it. You're going to be disappointed. It's these little acts of obedience that get us to where God wants us. And sometimes we don't know what they are, but when you get on the other side of them, at least in my life, I look back, I say, oh, I'm glad I did that. That's okay. You shout it out, sister. You look back and say, I get it now. That's why God wanted me to do that. And I've shared that story. Now I can look back and say, that's why I did that, because God wanted me to start Village Community Church. Oh, it makes sense. I get it. It's those little steps of faith. Now, some of you may be thinking to yourselves right now, this is sounding a little legalistic, Jeff. You're talking about just doing the right thing a lot. What about grace? You did a whole series on grace. Grace Uncensored. What about grace? Why are you just trying to tell me I got to act the right way? And this is what I say to grace. Yes, grace. I say it's the grace of God that picks me up when I don't obey God. It's the grace of God that gives me the ability, the strength, and the motivation to obey God.
I tell you, it is all about the grace of God. Without the grace of God, none of us can follow Jesus Christ the way he called us to follow him. We need the grace of God. So I'm not negating grace by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, we're going to talk about obedience because that gets us to where God wants us to be in life, is by following the will and the commands of God. And the Apostle Paul says exactly that. So if you don't believe me, maybe you believe the Apostle Paul. Galatians 2, 20 to 21. One of my life verses that it's been with me probably a year since I started following Christ. I came across this verse. I'm like, that's one of my verses I'm always going to hold near and dear to me. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So what that is saying, we'll stop right there for a second. Don't keep reading. Look at me. What Paul is trying to say is, if you're a follower of Christ, when Christ died on the cross, you died with him. Your sinful nature was crucified with Christ. That's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer. The old Jeff Sharp is dead. He's gone. Unless I choose to bring him back into my life, he's dead. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Every step we take is the faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. So here's Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave us more commands to obey God than any person in Scripture. He's consistently telling us, do what God says. Run away from sexual immorality. Do what God says. But what does he say? He goes, I never set aside the grace of God. So don't hear that this morning. Don't let Satan deceive you and thinking, I'm just trying to be legalistic and tell you to do the right thing. It's under the veil, and it's girded by the grace of God. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. It's not our own strength that's going to get us to God's will for our life. It's not our own strength that's going to allow us to take that next step of faith. It's the grace of God. Why? Because Christ didn't die for nothing. It's powerful stuff here. Let's hear the conclusion of the story. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests were standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at a place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Final phase, essential, whatever you want to call it, to walking by faith and taking hold of God's destiny is building on past victories. Receive the Word of God, respond to the Word of God, and then build on past victories. It's a staple. Here I go again. It's a staple of Celebrate Recovery. What gives you the encouragement, Randy, to walk in sobriety today? Because you did it yesterday. It's those past victories that we hold near and dear to our hearts that give us the courage and the ability to take that next step. And I've seen that play out in my life, and I'm sure some of you have seen it play out in your life. And that's why throughout this series, I've been saying the thing like, do you have a resume of faith? Probably the third or fourth time I mentioned that, but I say that is because you got to remember, and God wants us right here in the Scripture. He's telling, build a memorial that will last forever so that future generations will know that it was the God of the universe who parted the Jordan River. And so build a resume of faith in our life so when something difficult happens and God tells us to take one of those steps is really, really hard to take, like to forgive that person we've been bitter towards for 15 years, we have to be able to look back and say, he was with me when? And I was able to, and God responded on my behalf when I was faithful before. And so we have to have resume of faith in our lives. And it's okay sometimes. We don't pull our past with us, but it's okay to look back and remember what God has done for us as an encouragement to what God promises to do for us in the future. And not everyone here has that. I get that. 31 years of my life, I didn't have a resume of faith. I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. I'm sure God did things in my life. He allowed me to live. He didn't need to do that. There were ways that God was faithful to me, of course, even though I rejected his son Jesus. But for most of my life, I didn't have a resume of faith. And if you're here and you're like, I don't have that resume of faith, Jeff, and maybe it's because you were like me. Maybe you haven't begun that journey with Jesus and allow him to work in your life. The first step of faith, as Kevin talked about during announcements, way to preach the announcements, my brother. That was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. The first step of faith for any of us is confessing our sin and surrendering our life to Jesus Christ, not only with our mouths, but with our hearts. That's the first faith builder in my life. And anytime I have a lot of trouble, guess where I go back? 13 years ago to the Vineyard Church, Columbus, Ohio, walked out of church crying like a little schoolgirl because I'd just given my life to Christ. That's where I go back sometimes when I need to remember how God was faithful to me. And those are really powerful times. And if you don't have that, you ask yourself, have I started that journey with Jesus? Am I in the game? Have I taken that first step of faith by trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, as my King? And if you don't have a resume of faith that you think is really strong, and maybe you don't, you be a believer and this is new to you. Following God, following Christ with passion, following Christ and doing what he says may be too new to you and you're still a believer, I get that. So use this, is what the scriptures are saying. Then use this as your first piece on your resume of faith. Remember, it was the God of the universe who parted the Jordan River. That's what he said. It's not just for the people there, it's for all the generations to follow. Listen to verse 34. It sums it all up well here. This is why God says he did all this. So we've got to ask ourselves, why did God go to all the trouble to tell Joshua, to tell the priests, to tell the officers, to tell the people, to take that step of faith into the water, to part the waters in a miraculous way? Why did God go to all the trouble of doing all that? Verse 24, chapter 4. He did this so that all the peoples of all the earth. So unless you're an alien in this room here this morning, this scripture is for you. He did this so that all the peoples of all the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. We'll stop right there. He did it so that you and I, on a resume of faith, may know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Isaiah 48 says this about the hand of God. It says, God's hand laid the foundation of the earth. It spread out the heavens. So by the hand of God, the earth and the heavens were created. In John chapter 10, this is what Jesus says about the hand of the Father. He says, if you are in me, if you're a follower of Christ, he says, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. He did this to demonstrate to us the power of the hand of God who will act on our behalf when we obey him, when we walk by faith, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Not talking about being afraid of God again. The fear of God is living with this awe of God and this reverence of God. Not of being afraid of who he is, but just this reverence and this awe of the almighty, powerful God. And so all of us, Josh, if you guys want to make your way up, we need to continue to build this resume of faith. And I don't want us to walk away from here today just again. I'm not a big fan of just theoretical conversations and teachings, but there need to be steps to take. If what's the point then? And that's why I have next steps each week. If there's no steps for us to take, then there's no point for me being up here babbling on and on. There's got to be something for us to do with it. And today, I think there's some steps that we all can take. And so as we close out today, I want to spend some time in prayer, just simply asking God that question. God, what's that next step of faith that you want me to take? And it's going to be up to you, right, if you're going to obey it and then do it. You may not be able to do it right now. Some of you may be able to respond in this moment to what God desires you to do. And my hunch is that most of you already know. If you're like me, you already know there's been something God's been nudging you and nagging you about, but you haven't quite done it yet. So some of you already know what that is, but let's just spend some time praying. And then when we're done praying, when I feel like it's appropriate,
we're just going to roll into a time of worship. We got a couple songs to sing to remind us about the faithfulness of God. You're welcome to come up to the communion table anytime during these worship songs if you're a follower of Christ. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, as always, we just thank you for your word, God, so that, God, we're not ignorant, we're not naive, but God, you give us your word so that we understand you, so we know you and your ways. We can begin to get a glimpse of just how powerful and mighty you are and how caring and loving you are. And so, God, I am always thankful for the words that you speak into my life. And God, just ask right now as we sit here, as we rest, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us. And because you are the Almighty God, you're able to you do that in this moment, God. You can have a conversation with 50 or 60 people as they sit here. And so, folks, guys, as you sit here right now, just simply ask God an easy question, God. It's, God, what's the next step of faith you desire me to take? If you're having a hard time hearing from God, just ask God to remove the interference. In the name of Jesus, I pray against the presence of the enemy who would like to distract the voice of God. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Just ask God. Guys, ask, what's that next step of faith you desire me to take? And don't be looking for what it's going to lead to. Just be comfortable knowing that God has spoken that step to you. If you need to write it down so you don't forget, please write it down. And as God speaks that to us here this morning, let's also ask him for the grace and the courage to respond to his word, to do as he says, and to obey him. If what he has asked you to do seems hard to you, let him know that. It's okay. Tell him, God, this seems hard. It seems difficult. I don't know if I can do it. But God, I ask that you would enable me to do it, God. And I ask you right now, as you just sit here, go back to those moments in your life where you've seen God be faithful. Go back to the moment you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, if that's where you're at. Where he cleansed you, he rescued you. Go back to those times where God, through his written word or spoken word, gave you instructions and you followed and you obeyed them and God showed up and the mighty hand of God acted on your behalf. Give him thanks for those times. Verse 24 said, one of the reasons God did this so that we may live in the fear of the Lord. And again, I don't want anyone thinking you're to be afraid of God. But the scriptures say this, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you, so he may lift you up. And if there's anyone in this room that needs to acknowledge the mighty hand of God in their lives, is there anyone here who needs to turn their life over to the care and the will of Jesus Christ? You've never done that before, but the voice of God is saying to you right now, that's the step you need to take. You need to turn your sin over to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Christ. You need to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. As everyone continues to pray with their head down and their eyes closed, if there's anyone who wants to give their life to Christ, to cross that line of faith, to have that first spiritual marker of faith in their life, would you please raise your hand? I simply just ask you to raise your hand because of of what Kevin shared with us, that we not only confess with our mouth, but with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. The scriptures say, if you will acknowledge me, if you will acknowledge Jesus before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So you're in a safe place. If you want to begin following Christ, would you please raise your hand? For those here who don't know Jesus, I just thank you for being here this morning and know that you are in a place where you are invited and welcomed, and you're on a journey with all of us who are trying to discover who Jesus is and what he's called us to. So guys, as we come together now, let's go to a time of worship where we remember God has been faithful to us. May we seek the courage and the grace we need to step into whatever he's spoken to us, those little steps of faith and obedience that he's calling each and every one of us to. Let's go ahead and stand and worship.